inspiration for this koan. You really ought to do something about this, I told myself angrily. And then I added, it would be best if you sat down and were still. I listened to the echo of this strange admonishment as if it were a fragment of music I couldn't quite identify. I looked at the chair and wondered, would it be best to sit down and be still? And if so, why? The answer came readily enough. Because if you are still, then you will be better able to hear. Yes, I thought, that is undeniably so. For no conscious reason, I lifted my eyes to those of my beastly companion. As everyone knows, eyes speak. A pair of strangers can reveal their mutual attraction in a glance. His eyes spoke, and I understood. My legs turned to jelly, and I barely managed to reach the chair without collapsing. But how? I said, not daring to speak the words aloud. What does it matter? He replied as silently. It's so, and nothing more needs to be said. But you, I sputtered, you are... I found that having come to the word, I could not speak it. He nodded, acknowledging my difficulty. I am the teacher. We gazed into each other's eyes, and my head felt as empty as a derelict barn. And then he said, do you need time to collect yourself? Yes, I cried, speaking aloud for the first time. Will it help you to listen to my story? Indeed it will, I said. But first, if you will, please tell me your name. He stared at me for a while without replying and without expression. Then he proceeded as if I hadn't spoken at all. I was born somewhere in the forests of equatorial West Africa, he said. Do you happen to know the methods of Frank and Osa Johnson? I looked up, startled. I've never even heard of them. They were famous animal collectors of the 30s. Their method with gorillas was this. On finding a band, they would shoot the females and pick up all the infants in sight. How terrible, I said, without thinking. The creature replied with a shrug. I have no actual memory of the event, though I have memories of earlier times. In any case, the Johnsons sold me to a zoo in a small northeastern city, where I lived for several years. He paused and nibbled absent-mindedly on his branch for a while, as if gathering his thoughts. In such places, he went on at last, where animals are simply penned up, they are almost always more thoughtful than their cousins in the wild. This is because even the dimmest of them cannot help but sense that something is very wrong with this style of living. I don't mean that they acquire powers of ratiocination, but the tiger you see madly pacing its cage is nevertheless preoccupied with something a human would certainly recognize as a thought. And this thought is a question. Why? Why, the tiger asks itself, hour after hour, day after day, year after year, as it treads its endless path behind the bars of its cage. It cannot analyze the question or elaborate on it. If you were somehow able to ask this creature, why what, it would be unable to answer you. Before long, I too began to ask myself why. Being neurologically far ahead of the tiger, I was able to examine what I meant by this, at least in a rudimentary way. I remembered a different life that was interesting and pleasant. By contrast, this life was boring and never pleasant. Thus, in asking why, I was wondering why life should be divided in this way, half of it interesting and pleasant, and half of it boring and unpleasant. In this way, my interior life began, quite unnoticed. Although I knew nothing of it, the Great Depression was taking its toll on all aspects of American life. Zoos everywhere were cutting back. To make a long story short, I was sold to the owner of a traveling menagerie with an empty wagon to fill. You might imagine that life in one cage is like life in any other cage, but this isn't so. At the zoo, the public was kept well away from us. At the menagerie, I was in contact with the public from the first moment. A small group of visitors approached my wagon and immediately began speaking to me. I was astounded. At the zoo, visitors had talked to one another, never to us. I simply didn't know what to make of it. The next day, paying more attention to what they were saying, I noticed that when visitors came to the wagon beside mine, occupied by a female chimpanzee, they cried out, "Zha zha, zha zha, zha zha." But when they came to my wagon, they called out, "Goliath, Goliath, Goliath." By small steps, I soon understood that these sounds in some mysterious way attached directly to the two of us as individuals. You who have had a name from birth can hardly imagine what a revolution this produced in me. It would be no exaggeration to say that I was truly born in that moment, born as a person. From the realization that I had a name to the realization that everything has a name was not a great leap. You might think a caged animal has little opportunity to learn a language, but this isn't so. Menageries attract families, and parents are incessantly schooling their children in the arts of language. "Look, Johnny, there's a duck. Can you say duck? Duck? Do you know what a duck says? A duck says quack, quack." I only had to listen in order to learn. Several years passed in this way. Then, one rainy day, when the lot was deserted, I received a peculiar visitor, a lone man who looked to me ancient and shriveled. Even his approach was distinctive. He stood at the menagerie entrance, glanced methodically at each wagon in turn, then headed straight for mine. He paused at the rope, planted the tip of his walking stick in the mud, and peered intently into my eyes. I've never been disconcerted by a human gaze, so I placidly returned his stare. Several minutes passed. I remember feeling admiration for this man, so stoically enduring the drizzle that was streaming down his face and soaking his clothes. At last he straightened up and gave me a nod, as if he'd come to some carefully considered conclusion. "You are not Goliath," he said. With that he turned and marched back the way he'd come. I was thunderstruck. Not Goliath? What could it possibly mean to be not Goliath? It didn't occur to me to say, "Well, if I'm not Goliath, who am I?" A human would ask this question because he would know that whatever his name, he is assuredly someone. I did not. On the contrary, it seemed to me that if I wasn't Goliath, then I must be no one.